Daryl Ryder posted a story, and he wrote three words describe yesterday's Cowboys-Browns opener. What a disaster. That's what Daryl wrote. He's brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, boys.
All right.
How are we?
Oh, obviously, we're doing wonderful. I mean, it feels great. It's a wonderful feeling.
Camp season starts in 3 weeks.
Okay, come on now. Let's not say things we can't take back here. Let's go. I mean, yeah, we're excited about the Cavs, too, but you get what I'm saying.
How about them Guardians?
I'm really nervous.
Okay.
I'm not nervous about the Guardians. I'm really nervous because, like, I consider and go, well, it's one game, this, that, and like, boy, I hope so, because he just looked like a quarterback that was not confident in himself, not trusting or confident in his teammates, and there was a point they showed him on the sideline, and he looked like he was staring into the abyss in the second half. And I'm like, man, he looks like a guy who's searching for a quarterback that's not there anymore. And it makes me nervous, buddy.
Yeah, I got nervous last week when Quincy Avery jumped on national radio to sell the world how great Deshaun Watson is and is going to be. And the sales job organizationally that was taking place for the 2.5 weeks after the joint practices with the Minnesota Vikings, that first half was almost a carbon copy of the first day of the joint practices with the Vikings when it came to the pressure applied to Watson, when it came to the lack of timing and internal clock from Watson, and it came to execution and completing passes and picking up first downs. So I would like to say that was a surprising disappointment, but there were signs of this in training camp. The offensive misalignments, again, things we saw in camp, especially in the joint practices with the Minnesota Vikings. Like, that's elementary football, people, knowing where and how to line up. And I have no patience for the lack of execution of basic elementary football. I don't care if it's the season opener or not. I give you one penalty. 2, 3, 4. That's absolutely inexcusable. And a complete lack of preparation. Again, don't care if you got backup tackles on the field. You should know where you're supposed to line up. That is coaching, 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 and a complete lack of preparation and attention to detail. And you can clearly tell who's not on the coaching staff anymore. Bill Callahan ain't here. And it sure looked like it. I haven't seen an offensive line performance. I wrote this last night. I haven't seen an offensive line performance that bad in years. And that offense in the first half, that was some 1-15 and 0-16, you know what.
So is it your thought then, Daryl, based on what you saw yesterday, that there's too much heat today on Deshaun Watson, that basically any quarterback would have had a tough day at the office?
Well, there's a couple of things here. I do want to be fair to Deshaun. He's played 12 games in 3 years. So, I expected a slow start. I didn't expect one first down in the first half of a slow start. I also want to give him some grace. His father, he told us after the game, his father passed away on Friday. One of his friends and former teammates passed away on Saturday. So he played with a heavy heart. And I do think that there is a chance maybe his mind wasn't 100% in that game. So I want to give him the grace of humanity here and not just completely bury the guy because he didn't play well. That said, at some point here within this month, we need to see the quarterback look like a starting quarterback in the National Football League. So, and this offense needs to look like it's actually an offense in the National Football League, because that was really, really awful yesterday. The ineptitude was mind-boggling. They went 7 straight possessions. Well, actually, it was 6 of 7 that they went 3 and out, and the other one they couldn't even get to third down because it ended up in an interception. So you had 7 straight short possessions for this offense where they did absolutely nothing. I mean, look, I miss Joe Flacco. I miss the offense we got to watch at the end of the season. That offense worked, and I've said this in the offseason. Like, the changes that they made this year had nothing to do with failures of Kevin Stefanski's offense. It was all about making life better for Deshaun. And I don't know, and I'm going to go back and rewatch it again this morning because I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty confident I'm not. It did not look like life was better for Deshaun yesterday at all.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Schaub & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Like, that's, I can't absolve, we've spent obviously a lot of time talking about Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's the future of the franchise no matter what. I can't absolve Kevin Stefanski of any of the responsibility. I know he can run an offense, but nobody was ready. Nobody was prepared for this game. And that's going to be on your coaching staff, and that ultimately is going to fall on your head coach. And you're right. Well, 11 penalties, and we could talk about the sloppiness, but you know, the illegal shifts, the illegal motions, I mean, that's silliness pre-preparation stuff. And it's, I can't even use the excuse, well, they haven't played with each other a bunch. Well, you know, we've had that conversation over and over and over again, so that's still going to be on them.
They were the only team that had that. There are other teams that sat people in the preseason as well, and they looked perfectly fine in week one. So, as I said earlier, Ken, we saw warning signs of this in training camp. And it was, everything's fine. That's not how we coach and practice and everything. And Kevin said it yesterday. And I, you know, hopefully I'll have an opportunity to ask him about it today, because apparently it is, Kevin, because y'all did this in the preseason and in training camp. We saw it, and you didn't fix it, and we were told it was fixed. So, it was a complete lack of preparation, and that's what you get. And so hopefully we don't see this problem ever again this season. Again, give them the mulligan. It's only one of, 17 that they're going to play. But you only get 17 of these things, and you already flushed the first one.
Daryl Ryder with us. He was there at the game yesterday when, obviously, we're spending a lot of time on the offense. Defensively, how disappointing was that performance? It looked like the line got off to a great start at the beginning of the game. The crowd was into it. Then what happened?
Yeah, I mean, Dalvin Tomlinson, Myles Garrett, Za'Darius Smith got sacks in the first half, and, well, that was about it. Look, if I would have told you going into this game, Dak Prescott was going to throw for less than 200 yards and only one touchdown, I think everybody would agree they would have said the Browns boat raced the Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, and, well, that's what happened yesterday. He didn't throw for 200 yards. He only threw for one touchdown, and instead it was the Browns who ended up getting boat raced. It started with the miscommunication. I don't know. Greg Newsom said after the game they just have to communicate better on that opening touchdown there to Cooks that gave basically the Dallas the lead for good. Again, Newsom said they got to communicate better. Him and Juan Thornhill, something happened there. Cooks was just wide open. And I think that they wouldn't say it after the game, because I asked multiple players, hey, you guys were on the field a ton in that first half, and at one point it was a 3-1 plays run ratio here. How much did that contribute to you guys just getting worn down? Which I believe that was the case. Now, the responses I got from everyone, pretty much, the coach speak, football responses, hey, we got to play complimentary football. It's nobody's fault. When we're out there, we have a job to do, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think that that was a mitigating factor for this defense when you have absolutely no time on the sideline to take a breather because your offense is so inept, they can't even pick up a first down. I do feel like that does have somewhat of a domino effect, and then even more disappointing, you give up a 60-yard punt return on special teams that basically drove one of the final nails in the coffin. I think the second interception was the last nail in the coffin, but once that punt return got returned for a touchdown, that was everybody was free to go home and drive home safely.
One more thing on the defense. They were victimized by a bunch of trap plays, those same jet sweeps that we had seen in not only that, I remember the Rams game last year was one in particular, but also the playoff game against the Texans. Is there some concern that maybe they're not making some adjustments because what they do is on tape? And
right.
We've seen now, especially over the second half of last season and now this opener plus the playoff game, the book is kind of out on what this defense gives up.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas did a good job taking advantage of the man-to-man as well as, beating the pressure up front with some misdirection. Because let's be honest about it, chips don't really work all that well against Myles Garrett. So you give Dallas some credit there. And a couple of guys did say in the locker room after the game that, give them credit. They did a couple of things that we did not see on tape. And, they just quite frankly beat us. So, give the Cowboys credit. And you're right. I do think that the book might be out defensively as far as the man-to-man and the pressure up front. And yet you have to adjust. You have to be ready for the misdirection stuff and whatnot. But and they're going to probably see a lot more of it. You did not get lit up, though, yesterday by Dak Prescott. And you still got run out of your own building. That's what's concerning, right? It's not like we're sitting here and saying, well, it's Dak Prescott. He threw for 400 yards and a bunch of touchdowns, and, that's going to happen. No, that's not what happened yesterday. And I think that's what makes that all the more frustrating.
Daryl Rutter brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. All right, David Njoku, how serious is it?
Yeah, it could be a high ankle sprain. He was in a walking boot after the game on his right foot. That's obviously never a good sign. A lot of times that's done for precautionary reasons. He's going to undergo an MRI today. They'll take a look, and fingers crossed he's not going to have to miss significant time, but there is a chance that is a possibility.
MJ Emerson got hurt late in yesterday's game.
Yeah, he did. We talked to him after the game, and he told us he's fine.
Okay, are we going to get Jed Wills back this week against Jacksonville?
We shall see. Same thing kind of goes with Conklin. Kevin Stefanski said after the game, the standard answer he gives. Both those guys are doing their work and, trying to work their way back. But if Mr. Miyagi's listening, if you could head on over to 76 Lou Groza Boulevard and help those two gentlemen out, I think Deshaun Watson and the Browns offense and Browns fans would be very grateful and appreciative, because that was not good yesterday.
That second pick, would you put it more on Elijah Moore, or would you put it more on Deshaun Watson?
Well, the throw was a little off, and hey, if I do have a rule, Ken. If it goes through your hands, you probably should catch the ball, right?
It's just your rule, or is it everybody?
The Daryl rule.
I'm kidding. I'm messing with you, Daryl. I'm sorry.
Ken, I'm trying to be diplomatic this morning.
It's just kind of. It ain't good, Daryl. I got a terrible feeling, man. Unshakable feeling right now, buddy.
Look. Leaving that stadium last night, I think I have shared the same feeling that you had. But I'm trying not to express that. I'm trying to keep some perspective here. 1-17, again, giving Deshaun the grace of what's going on in his personal life. Obviously, that's very awful to deal with. Going into the first game of the season, again, just 12 games played in 3 years. But as I said earlier, man, okay, I'm willing to give you some leeway here at the outset, new offense, this, that, and the other. But this season's about results, and I'm going to need to see some results, and the Browns need to finally see some return on that $230 million sixth draft pick, including 3 first-rounders investment here. They need to see that, because if this is what it's going to be, if he's going to be skittish in the backfield and seeing ghosts and running around and, the clock between the ears is off and not being able to read pressure when it comes and things like that, not seeing guys that are wide open running down the field, I worry, like I think you do, Ken, this could be a very long football season, but I'm really, really trying to do my best not to overreact to one game. As Wyatt Teller told us in the locker room, it stinks, but it's just one of 17. The problem is it was the first of 17 that they basically had an entire offseason to prepare for.
Yeah. Daryl, make sure everybody reads you, 923thefan.com. Make sure everybody listens to you and Baskin, I almost called it the emerging podcast scene. My goodness. It's always game day in Cleveland. New one out. I would imagine the new one's out.
Yeah, we dropped the post-gamer last night, so.
Did you cuss? Did you get loud? Did you cuss?
No, we keep it PG on the podcast. We resist that temptation, so, because we want everybody, okay, children included, to be able to listen to us yell and scream.
You want to subject children to that type of game like yesterday?
Well,
and the reaction to it?
I don't, but let's be honest about it, Ken. For the better part of 30 years, this is what we've been subjected to, so you'd think we'd be used to it by now, right?
Tough love. They got to grow up sometime, right?
Yep, that's right.
Daryl Ryder.